was a kind of an interesting topic on a Christmas sermon on moving mountains, since we basically usually have some kind of Christmas sermon. But as I was studying and thinking about what to talk about, this scripture was drawn to me, and I read several things and prayed to God what would be the message that you would like for me to bring this morning. And this particular sermon was spawned out of an article I read by David Wilkerson that very similar in title, that he talked about moving mountains or moving a mountain. And I felt like it's very appropriate this time of the year, because Jesus Christ, being a babe, grew up to be our Lord and our Savior. But the fact that we are called today a Christian because we believe in Christ. But the early people of Israel had a different type of faith. And that's where our kind of a scripture evolves from, because this particular scripture came in his last days of ministry. And as they walked by this tree, fig tree, as I read, Jesus cursed it and it died, it withered. And when Peter saw that, and he said the thing, the only explanation that God gave to Peter was, he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that's something I think we need at this time of the year, is to have faith in God. And the fig tree itself, as Jesus used many of a sermon with illustrative examples, represented the dying religious thought of that time. That is, that the Israelites up to this time had put their faith in the laws of Moses, and they're following those laws to the nth degree and living according to the laws. But now God is calling them through Jesus Christ to live by a different standard, by faith. So that tree is no longer going to produce those types of things that Israel had been expecting. Now they were going to go by faith. And faith is something that God has been looking for all these centuries, for people to follow him and to give totally to him. And he's done this from the very beginning. He wanted his children in the early time, when he led them through the desert, to be totally dependent upon them. That's why he led them out in the desert, because they didn't have any way of getting any food, any water. They were totally dependent upon him. But we know the story that they never did completely come about and give their total faith to God. Even when they came to the crossing, to the promised land, they rejected the fact that they could go in and conquer that land and that God could do it. And he caused them to wander some more in the wilderness until all those had passed on. You know, so people that kind of are like these have the a kind of unbelief about them. And this is what the mountain that Jesus Christ is talking about in the passage that he followed is about: faith, about the unbelief. And some people call this mountain poverty. They call it sickness. They call it fear. They call it discouragement. There's a lot of things that birth this unbelief in people, that God can't do it. God can't handle it. And Jesus said that before I can help you, before he can help me, we have to get rid of that mountain. He went to this city to perform miracles, or this town, and nobody in there believed him. And therefore, he couldn't even perform miracles. Jesus himself could not perform a single miracle in that town, because everybody in that town had that mountain of unbelief. You know, and it hinders God, this unbelief. He cannot do his work through us as long as we have that mountain of unbelief in our hearts and in our minds. And God doesn't take that unbelief lightly either. I can share with you several examples. Remember Zechariah, that was the father of of John the Baptist when the angel came and told him that they were going to have a son. He kind of laughed about it, said, "No, we're too old, and we just can't have a baby this time." And Jesus, and the angel Gabriel, shut his mouth up. He couldn't say another word because he showed that little bit of unbelief. So God didn't like that too good when he did that. We studied in our Bible study recently, King Asa of Judah. He was faced with an army. A million people were coming to attack his city. Matter of fact, they'd already gotten to the outskirts of Jerusalem. And he went to the temple and he prayed, and God gave him victory. They won this battle. Little old teeny Judah beat this big army. And it was talked about. But a prophet came to him as he was coming back from that and said, "Now, Asa, God gave you that victory. You know that. But as long as you stay with God, you're going to always have victories." But it wasn't long before Asa himself, when another army started invading, he decided he would call in Syria, another country, to help him rather than God. And we know the story. He fell flat on his face. And as a result, he was always at war. So God doesn't take unbelief lightly. He really wants us to believe in what he can do. Peter himself, remember Peter? He walked out on that water. And he had the faith to walk on that water. But when he looked around and saw all those waves and all that, he said, he began to doubt. And Jesus, he called on Jesus, and Jesus picked him up and saved him. And he said, "Why did you doubt me, Peter? Am I not the Almighty Lord?" Now the question here is, how can I remove this mountain? What do I need to help me to remove this mountain? The answer is found in another part of the Bible. The answer is found in a place called Gethsemane. If you have your Bibles, I want to just read a little bit, a couple of passages from Matthew, the 26th chapter. You know the story well. 26th chapter, starting with the 36th verse. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit here, sit ye here, while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very unhappy. Then saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus wept out at that time, that night, his deepest sorrow before his Father. He had battled. He had done everything he could do. And now was the time that he was going to have to go to the cross. But at that place, that night, he won the battle over all the evils in the world. And he showed us the place we can go to remove all the mountains. And that is, the mountains that's in our lives can be removed. And, how did he accomplish that? Now, see, Jesus did not have any unbelief, being God himself in flesh. But he did this as an example for us. He went to this place. He prayed. He fasted. He laid out on the ground. He did everything he could do to humble himself to God, to show us how we need to come before God. we need to come before God with a very contrite heart, a very humble spirit when we pray. That's how he showed us. He came that way to God. You know, in Gethsemane, the place where God really, I mean, where Jesus showed us the answer to how we can really pray, he gave us the final answer to what we need to find today in our scripture. Because unless we come to God with a contrite heart and a broken spirit, the evil spirits are not going to obey us. Our prayers are not going to be answered as they should be. We're not even going to see the answers to our prayers a lot of times. Remember the time that the disciples were trying to heal this man? I mean, they went to this man with the evil spirits. And the evil spirits, they were trying to cast the evil spirits out. And they were just laughing at the disciples. You can't do anything to us. You can't touch us. But when Jesus walked up, they left the place. And the reason why is because they recognized a contrite heart and a humble spirit that Jesus Christ brought to that situation. And that's what we need. And Jesus, as I said, we know that when we follow Jesus, that we're going to experience some of the same things that he did, some of the same pain, some of the same agony. And he's our example that we need to follow. Now, what is the key to this whole message today is the last verse, the ultimate prayer. An ultimate prayer is an ending prayer, a prayer that follows a series of prayers. And he had prayed a lot of different prayers, Jesus Christ had, during his ministry. The Lord's Prayer, all kinds of prayers he prayed. But this is the ultimate prayer. Jesus said this at the end of his prayer. He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," this is the key word here, "nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will." We have to turn things over to God and say to him, basically, "Here it is, Lord. You do what you want to, and do it when you want to do it. All I'm going to do is I'm going to believe your promise. I'm going to have the faith that you will answer that." So if you're struggling with things like you prayed for, and it doesn't seem like God has answered those prayers, and things have happened in your life that you want God to make a miracle in, to change, you have to completely turn it over to God and give it to him and say, "It's yours. It's not mine." But when you give it to him with the understanding that it's going to happen, and what you're going to find is that God's going to reveal his answer in some unexpected ways. Your prayers generally are not answered the way you want them to. I found that out. And I've had a lot of people to share with me stories. A young lady in this, not in this church, but another church, had a son that was on drugs and alcohol, and she prayed so hard that he could get off those things. And you know what? He got in trouble, and he went to prison. But you know what he found in prison? There was somebody with a prison ministry there, and they shared with him about God and his love and his mercy. And he found Jesus in prison, if you can believe that. He found Jesus in prison. And when he came out, he was a different man. So, you know, the way that came out was totally different from what the mother prayed for. But yet, the answer was the same. The son was healed. And that can happen to us today if we just open up and pray to God that not my will, but your will, dear God. Now think about that this time of the season. Especially, we don't understand how and I'm going to say this in a way, that I have been fortunate and blessed not to have had a real tragedy in my life, other than maybe losing my mother and losing some personal things or properties and having some sicknesses. But I've never had to experience what some of you have experienced, the loss of a child, the loss of some, I'm talking about a tragic loss in an accident or something of that nature, or a sickness that's incurable. But I do know that when I come to God, if I come to Him with a contrite heart and a humble spirit, and with this prayer on my lips, dear Heavenly Father, here it is. You do what you want to, and you do it when you want to do it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to believe. I'm going to have the faith. And that's what God has called us to do as Christians today. Our whole Christian religion is built upon that faith. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was, as Billy said, came to us as a baby, came to us to live among us, dear Heavenly Father, to suffer pain and agony. But yet He lived without sin, showing us that it can be done, giving us example after example, and now showing us today through the Scripture that the ultimate answer to our prayers, the ultimate way we can remove these mountains so you can work within us, you can do your will with us, is to give our will to you. Not be our will, dear Heavenly Father, but your will. I know it's hard to do. It's hard for me to do. And it's probably going to still be hard. But I pray that that time, if that time comes when I need, dear Heavenly Father, to give up what I want, and give it to you, that I can rely on my faith in you, that you will get it done. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for getting it done in all the situations throughout the world today. And again, thank you for this time, and thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all that you have blessed us with. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Our closing hymn today is 397. I need thee every hour.